Well, good evening.
And good evening. Welcome to Hot Wine. My name is Earl Ray Neal, and my co-host is Dr. Sergio Scro. How are you doing tonight, Sergio?
I am well.
Good. Glad to hear. Okay, folks, this is our first attempt at this, so please feel free to leave comments, hints, helpful tips, suggestions in the comments. We really want to address the things that you all want to talk about. And the first thing we are going to talk about on Wine About Wine this evening is to talk with Serge a little bit about Divino Wine Wholesale and how you got into the wine business. Now, I know this is audio and not video, so folks, you're just going to have to take my word for it when I tell you that there is obviously not a height requirement in order to be in the wine business. So why don't you pick up there, Serge, and tell us how you got involved?
Well, obviously, you're right. It's not about my height. It's not how I got in. But my parents are immigrants from Italy, came over here in the late 60s. No height requirement there either. They worked hard, struggled, but always kept us, the children, and the family very, very much Italian. And we grew up with Italian food, grew up with Italian culture, and of course, part of that was Italian wine. Most of the time was either, of course, store-bought because it's easier, and occasionally we would be treated to some Italian wine that was sent over from my grandparents.
And so now, do you still have contacts in Italy, in the old country, as they call it?
As in family?
Family, wine contacts. What's your connection over there these days?
Yes to all of it. Majority of my dad's family is still lives in Italy. In fact, all of them do. And in the past 15 years that my father's been importing wine, we definitely have a lot of contacts over there throughout all of Italy.
So would it be safe to say that wine is sort of the family business in a way?
It is. It would be completely accurate, and it is.
So I'm going to ask a question that I bet a lot of the listeners are going to want to know the answer to, and that is, how does the son of immigrants end up in Richmond, Kentucky, selling wine?
I actually came down here to, I was offered a position at Eastern Kentucky University. I was a professor.
And thus the doctor at the beginning, right?
Yes.
So are you a wine doctor? Are you a witch doctor? What kind of doctor are you?
Witch doctor? That might be accurate. No, I'm just a PhD in applied engineering. But I'm basically a glorified shop teacher. That's what I did for many years.
You're a smart and talented wine dude.
Sure, let's go with that one.
All right, yeah,
that's cool.
Okay, so you have Divino Wine Wholesale. Tell the started, and then where we are today, and where we hope to go as a result of Wine About Wine.
Sure. Divino started when I actually moved down here, and my dad had been selling wine in the country, just a couple states at the time, and said, "Hey, I don't have anybody in Kentucky. You want to sell wine?" And I said, "Well, what the hell? Sure. I only have to do my promotion in tenure, so, you know, let's just sell some wine." And from there, it just it became a passion very quickly. And it also became a huge challenge. I'll never forget that our very, very first wine tasting here in good old Richmond, Kentucky. We had a child, a 2-year-old, maybe 3-year-old at the time, and a baby in a carriage, a stroller, excuse me. And I'm sitting there at a table watching people come in to this old, good old store in Richmond, Kentucky, asking if they wanted to.
Did the kids like the wine?
They couldn't drink. Okay. No. I mean, I guess I could try. I mean, it'd be fun. No, it wouldn't. I'm just kidding. That's a big joke. Haha. But anyway, I realized quickly that it was going to be very difficult to sell wine in Kentucky. And thus, that from that first night, I looked at my wife and I said, we're going to have to sell this stuff one glass at a time. And it's been our motto ever since, because I'm telling you, we've had to pretty much sell it one glass and one bottle at a time.
Do you remember what your first wine was?
It was, if I remember correctly, it was Italo Cescon, Pinot Grigio.
And how many wines do you carry and promote now?
We are now at about 150, going on to about 180, hopefully the next couple months.
And the plan, I guess, with Wine About Wine, sort of from this point forward, I think is to tell the story behind every bottle of wine that you sell. Would that be fair to say?
It's completely fair. And in fact, it's the only way that I've learned to learn that I can sell wine, because there are so many wines out there. So many. But what I've found over the years that's worked is I walk into a place and I say, my dad imports this wine, and I sell it. And there's an immediate connection between whatever's in my hand and me, and people like that. They see that as, oh, wait, we're getting more than just a bottle of wine, some juice. We're getting a part of Italy. And that's what we try to impart. And that's what makes us different. We're bringing you family, farmed, clean, crafted wine that has been, in some cases, 5 and 6 generations in a family. And that's cool, because we look at a bottle of wine as just a bottle of wine. They look at it and it's the name. It's their name on that bottle. And if it's not good, it's their reputation. So,
well, I look forward to the journey with you, Dr. Serge, the wine guy. I'll be honest, as you well know, I know enough about wine to be dangerous. So I am looking forward to making this journey with you and the listeners as we move through Divino Wine Wholesalers' repertoire of wines. And I look forward to spending the next few episodes with you whining about wine.
I look forward to it, and it's going to be fun. We'll just have to drink our way through it.
All right. Thanks a bunch, Serge.
Thank you. Right, take bye-bye. Care. Bye.
Dr. Serge, the wine guy, and I would like to thank you for listening. Again, please feel free to leave your comments and your suggestions in the space provided below, and be on the lookout for the next edition of Wine About Wine. And welcome to the second episode of Wine About Wine. My name is Earl Ray Neal. And along with Dr. Sergio Scro, the wine guy, we are going to look this evening at the wines of Divino Wine Wholesalers. Good evening, Sergio. How are you?
I am well. Yourself?
Oh, doing the very best. So last episode, which we want to encourage everybody to check out, we also want you to feel free to leave your comments in the comments section. We are now happily on several different podcast platforms, including Spotify. So we're really excited about that. But in the last episode, we talked about sort of your family's history and how you all became involved in the wine distribution industry. So what we want to focus on tonight are the wines that are offered by Divino Wine Wholesalers as sort of as a whole across the board. talk a little bit about the regions of the world that they come from. So, Serge, can you kind of pick up there and tell me and the other listeners, is there any particular region of the world that Divino focuses on, and if so, why?
Well, yes, of course. We started out up until about 2 years ago, only distributing my family's imported wines, and those are all from Italy, of course, because my parents are Italian immigrants. And those wines are from all over Italy. We have the Veneto near Venice region. We have Piemonte, the northern region near the Alps, up in the Alps, northern regions. We have Tuscany. We have the island of Sardinia, Sicily, a couple things from Puglia, which is in the heel, and of course, in a couple things from Calabria. So we're kind of spread across the Italian continent with a splash of pretty much everything.
Is there anything in particular about the wines that you find in those individual regions, any special characteristics that make them sought after in the wine world?
Yes, they're wines to be drunk every day. You're going to find that a lot of times you'll hear people talk about a wine that has to be paired with this and has to be paired with that. But these are families, farmers, their generations passed on traditions of how to make wine and the commitment to the work that it takes, the hard work. And so they're making these wines to drink every day. And stylistically, that's a beautiful thing, because you don't have to be scared of it.
I think a lot of people are afraid of wine. You know, you go into a restaurant, you sit down, and they ask you if you want a wine list. And, you know, some people are afraid to take the list because they don't necessarily know what they're looking for. So would it be fair to say that one of the things that makes Divino wines special would be the story sort of behind the wine?
Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely the story, because we believe that that every wine, or excuse me, every bottle has a story, and every story makes a memory. And it's so true for these winemakers that they see all of their family at each of these bottles, and who knows what happened in the field. They're laughing, they're eating. So every bottle has this story, and there's so much memory behind it, but it transcends just the field. Most great times are happening with somebody having a bottle of wine, a glass of wine with some friends, laughing and enjoying it.
Oh, so there's a story behind what went into the bottle, and then there's lots of stories that result from when you open those bottles up, I bet.
Yeah.
Maybe we ought to do an episode where we have folks call in and tell their stories about what happened when they opened up their bottles of wine. Do you or members of your families have personal relationships with the folks that produce these wines?
Yes, and that is what really sets us apart, because we know about each family, especially as it come from Italy. We know them. If we go there, we stay with them. If they come here, they stay with us.
So you mean you actually have the folks that produce these wines in your homes?
Oh yeah.
They come.
Fun to watch them come out, and we introduce them to s'mores and fire pits
I have to. I probably get in trouble for asking this, but do you take them on the bourbon tours? Do you expose them to bourbon?
I have, and they all love them, because they understand wine, and everyone knows about bourbon. But then they go to these distilleries, and they're just wowed. Didn't have no idea that that's just what went into it.
So has Divino had an opportunity to send representatives to the different regions and actually tour, be on site with, you know, these wineries and wine production areas? So yes, what are some of the wines that you've actually visited in the process of being made?
We have, well, pretty much all of them from Italy. I've been to near Venice with a producer called Italo Ciascone. I've been to Piemonte with Veglio wines, one of our most popular wine. In fact, it is our, by volume, our most popular wine. It's called Sangue di Giuda, Blood of Judas. Great little story behind that that we'll be talking about, I believe, in an upcoming episode. That's up in near Milan. And then we go to the south. Been to Sicily, where Tonino makes the wine. Antonio, beautiful human being. Been to Puglia, where they make those wines too. So a little of everything. And it's just so beautiful to see how these people work and to share it.
So if I were to start up Earl Ray's Wine Distribution Center, what would set Divino apart from the wines that I could say go out and you know, obtain and produce?
There, and I always say this, and but it's just so true. There's so much wine. If one looks at commercial wines, you'd be surprised or appalled at how much of it is reconstituted, so to speak. It's so much additives in there, so much of this, and it's made for money, but not these people in Italy, not the wines that we represent from even other parts of the world. These are family producers. You can assure they're not putting any kind of, not using any kind of weird pesticides. They're not adding additives in there to make the color good, not adding things to make it stable to last a long time. The sulfites are minimized. In fact, some of our wines have minimal sulfites in them. And so it's those kinds of little things that add up. I'm always tickled at watching social media posts where somebody will go in coming out of yoga and has a picture of a wild caught Alaskan salmon and non-GMO vegetables, and they come out with a commercial wine with all the additives.
It sounds like you deal with wineries that are so limited and so special in their niche in the market that it's almost, I think it would be fair to say that probably the big wineries probably spill more in production than some of these wineries actually make.
That would be very true.
Well, you know, I'm flipping through your catalog, and you know, one of the things that just immediately catches my eye, you know, when you were talking about the stories behind the wine, you all have a line of wines, I think, called Flying Solo. And, yes, you know, it has a postage stamp. It has on the label, it has an airplane. Now, I'm not going to tell the folks listening what the story is, because we want them to listen when we focus on Flying Solo, for example. But, sure. But you know, that has a really interesting story behind it. It has a celebration of that story, you know, actually on the bottle, on the label. And as I flip through your catalog, and it looks to me like there's, you know, around 150 wines available now or so. Mm-hmm. It looks to me like there's, you know, there's one that has a stick on it, for example. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I want you to tell me what the stick means. I want to know what the story behind the stick wine is. And that's just for our listeners, that's going to be what we do over the next several hundred episodes. We're going to pick a wine. We're going to talk about what kind of classification it is, the variety. We'll tell you what type of soil the grapes are grown in, how they're harvested, what the wine process is. I think there's a discussion to be had about the aging process, how long it's actually refined in the bottle. And then, you know, we want to know certainly what the alcohol level is. We want to know about the characteristics of the wines and those types of things. And I think eventually, I'm not sure at this point when we'll roll this out, but I think eventually we'll probably get into a wine club, something of that nature, where, you know, we can make those wines that we discuss that particular week available to the listeners.
We hope so.
All right.
Lots of different families to talk about and lots of stories.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity to wine about wine with you tonight. And moving forward, we're going to start telling the stories of the wines that are offered by Divino Wine Wholesalers. So the next episode, be watching for that. It's going to be entitled The Blood of Judas. So if you want to give us just a little bit of tease about what you like about that wine, I even think that we are trying to work out a way to span the ocean, use a little bit of technology, and actually get the winemaker on the next episode. Is that right?
I think we are. And I can tell you about the wine. I can tell you that if I had the ability to put that in a keg, I could sell it by kegs every day. It is so good. But the story's great. But I think that you'll enjoy hearing a little bit about the history of the winery itself on that wine. And I'm looking forward to it. The blood, who calls something the blood of Judas, right?
Yeah, yeah. How do
you come up with a name? An official government Italian wine name is called the Blood of Judas. And then why? Wow.
Well, I personally can't wait to hear about it. I'm sure the listeners can't wait to hear about it. On the next episode of Wine About Wine, we are going to focus on the blood of Judas. So on behalf of Dr. Sergio Scro, the wine guy, this is Earl Ray signing off. You guys have a great night. And if you want to whine about wine, make sure you leave the comments in the comment section below. Thanks a bunch and have a great day.